It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And all of the podcasts and recaps of all of our shows are there. If you sign up for our weekly newsletter, you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent op-eds. So be sure and sign up for that as well. Happy Monday. It is the favorite day of producer Steve. How you doing this morning?
What's worse than a normal Monday is a Monday with several days off in there as well. So, yeah.
Welcome back to reality. We'll be talking a lot about reality in this first segment. Our researcher, Patty Kurgan, will be calling in just to give us an update on what is happening in each of these battleground states regarding it looks to me like rampant voter fraud that occurred during this 2020 election. And she's going to be giving us an update on each one of those states, producer Steve.
I'm glad you're doing this because I had a text conversation with another relative in the state. He had sent me a couple links to some of the publications, let's say, around the country that were showing signs that things weren't going as well as the left, the Dems think it's going. But then he said, well, you know, we'll never know because we'll never hear it anywhere else. And I'm thinking, well, we might not hear, but that doesn't mean it's not going on. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes. And there really is hope. That this is a race against time is what's going on now.
Exactly.
And so we really need to get down on our knees and pray. We need a miracle on this regarding the timing on this. So we'll be talking with Patty in just a couple of minutes on that. Speaking of Patty, I want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And to each of you listeners, I love hearing from you. And you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I want to say thank you to Bob in Michigan. He actually sent me several of the Blu-ray videos of a number of World War II movies, and I just want to say thank you so much for that. And over Christmas, I'm going to be watching that. I can't believe that Christmas is right around the corner. Yesterday was the first day of Advent, and so we are now officially in the Christmas season. Our quote for today is from Winston Churchill, and you know him. He was a British statesman, army officer. He served as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1940 to 45 during the Second World War, and then from 1951 to 55. Churchill was a member of Parliament from 1900 to 1964. He was born in 1874, and he died in 1965. Steve, I think this is quite a quote. He says, "It is a mistake to look too far ahead. Only one chain in the link of destiny can be handled at a time." I think that's a very appropriate quote for what's going on in America today.
It is, individually and as a nation, I guess. We get so tied up thinking, well, what's this going to mean 2 or 3 years from now? It's like, I don't know. And, you know, you put your best foot forward. But in terms of the actual impact, it's the here and now.
It is the here and the now. And right now, we need to take a look at what's happening. I got a text message from one of our sponsors this weekend from Susan, and she said, you know, what is amazing about Trump is he has actually shown what's going on with this voter fraud in America. And so Patty Kurgan is on the line. She is our researcher for the show. She does an amazing job. Patty, welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, Kim.
You have, and I think this is really important. I know Steve is really looking forward to this. You've gone through and have a synopsis of what is happening in each of these battleground states. So where do you want to start?
Well, I think, first of all, we should just state that if I was Joe Biden and part of his team, I would want an investigation because there's so much information out there. And to prove that I was fairly elected by the people of America, I would want this to go through because I would have nothing to hide. So I'm not sure what's going over in that campground. Well, I do, but I just want to state that. Second of all, I think it's important that this really isn't about Donald Trump or Joe Biden. This is about the office of the presidency and having integrity in our elections. I think that's really important to stress. Mm-hmm. And I want to reiterate what you were saying is that time is of essence. So the president-elect is not decided until the electoral votes are cast, and that will be December 16th. So just those 3 points.
Good yes. ones. Yes.
Right. And now we'll go through the different states. Hopefully I can get through all this. The main point is that things are constantly changing, and Georgia is probably the best place to start right now.
Okay.
Yesterday, they had a judge, and he blocked the ability of the different communities or counties within Georgia to void out or clean out the voting machines. And so he issued an election loss. There was a major election lawsuit in Georgia on November 29th. It was issued and then reversed. The federal judge then reversed on an order directing the state to cease and desist wiping or resetting election machines, which is good because if they reset the machines, which they are supposed to do today, that means that all that data goes away and it's clean. However, later on in the early evening, the judge reversed the order, explaining that the defendants were not in possession of the machines. Most people went to bed last night thinking that. Later on in the night, the judge then again reversed himself for a second reversal and a third order, and he again issued a temporary restraining order for 10 days against the destruction of that evidence. This is really good for Trump.
Okay.
Other points of consideration for Georgia is there's witnesses of the recount of the presidential election that have signed sworn statements testifying to having observed ballots cast for President Donald Trump being counted as though they were cast for former Vice President Joe Biden. It's been reported that over 56,000 ballots have come from non-residents. In Georgia also, there are thousands of ballots that are tied to a P.O. box, a UPS box, or a commercial building address. It is illegal to use these forms of addresses for voting purposes. And even when they did list a P.O. box, they didn't say P.O. box on the registration form. They used units or suites, so they were even disguising the P.O. boxes. Another weird thing that happened in Georgia was they had a major plumbing in the arena in Atlanta, and they asked all the people to leave for a select few. And it seems as though that's when a lot of hanky-panky went on. And the attorneys down there in Georgia have asked for video so that they can see all the trucks coming into the arena at that time, as well as they want the video for the floor so that they know what people had access on that floor. That is the state of Georgia.
And Patty, I just want to reiterate the point that you made when you started today, and that is Joe Biden and his camp should actually want to make sure that this is all checked out as well, so that he can know that he legitimately won the president, the presidency, if in fact he is the president. So just wanted to reiterate that. That's a great point you made.
Correct. And for the listeners, Georgia, at this point in time, it's 13,000 in favor of Biden with 16 electoral votes at stake.
Okay.
In Pennsylvania, they've also have a lot of issues going on. Biden right now is up at 20,000 votes with 20 electoral votes. There are there's a lot of irregularities, and data experts have come in to show what's going on. A lot of our information we're getting from the Epoch Times. They have not declared a winner in the race, which I think is accurate since We don't have all the states certified, and the electoral votes have not been counted, like I said, which will take place the 16th. A data expert who helped raise millions of dollars for the GOP campaign said that the vote tabulation data in key states have anomalies with significant swings toward Democratic nominee Joe Biden. The gentleman's name is Justin Hart, and he worked under former presidential candidate Mitt Romney in his 2012 bid. And he said that he's made a calculation showing that President Donald Trump would have had to lose votes based on his analysis of real-time entries from the New York Times on Election Day. You know what's more suspicious than big vote dumps giving Biden the lead in Wisconsin and Michigan? Taking away votes from real Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. And it has been reported that the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania, Bokvar, gay pro-dem, Rock the Vote, it's an organization, access to Commonwealth Uniform Registry of Election. This means that they could register votes seamlessly through an online program. And that is against the law. The only people that can register votes is the Secretary of State's office. Third parties cannot go in and do that. Like Georgia, Pennsylvania had P.O. Box, UPS boxes, commercial building addresses for ballots, which again is illegal.
Now, Patty, as I'm looking at this, we have the show jammed up. When you and I were talking this weekend, if in fact, I don't know if we'll get through all of this today, but it'll be something that we could say to people, listen again tomorrow, because we will go through this week. If you're available to make sure during this first segment that we will make sure that we give all the information, hopefully that'll work for you, because I don't think we're going to get through all of it today.
Right. And I'll skip over some of it. I'll skip over to Michigan. There's 16 electoral votes.
Okay.
There's a project called the Amistad Project, and they have sued to invalidate Michigan's election results. In Nevada, they're actually having a hearing. That's six electoral votes, and there has been a historical strange spike in incomplete Nevada voter files. And casinos have been listed as homes, which again is illegal. You can't do that. In Arizona, they're actually having a hearing this morning in regards to what kind of activities took place on Election Day and the days following. Biden right now is only up 4,200 votes with 11 electoral votes at stake. Arizona, I think it's important to note that they found last week in Greenlee County, which is on the southeastern part of the state, there's only about 8,500 people that live there. Initially, they had 22,110 votes counted. When there was an audit done, they go, oops, I guess we overcounted, and it should have actually been 3,723. So that's what brought down Arizona to a difference of 4,200. And in Wisconsin, again, there's a lot of information out there that indicates fraud. There is a group, it's called the Thomas More Society, and they're part of the Amistad Project, and they have filed a petition that it says that they've identified over 150,000 potentially fraudulent ballots, more than enough to call into question the validity of the state's reported election results. In Wisconsin, Biden is up by 20,600. So you're looking at the 150,000 fraudulent ballots. That would change that drastically, and there's 10 electoral votes there. The FBI has started to take some interest in it. There's a gentleman by the name of Matt Brainer, and he does a lot of independent research. A lot of it's statistically and numerically based, and the FBI has asked for his data. He's identified 1.25 million voter issues.
Patty, this is really a race against time. I listened to a portion of President Trump's interview with Maria Bartiromo, and I'll try to finish up the rest of that. I think he is surprised at the amount of election fraud that it looks like has occurred here, and I think he realizes this is a race against time. And what I'd like to do is let's just continue this week to keep people updated on this. This is really good information. What's your call for today, and then we'll go to break after we mention Hooters. What do you think's going on? Do you think we're going to make it?
If you're talking in terms of are we going to make it and see all truth, again, it's all a race against time. December 16th, that date keeps getting closer. I'm not giving up hope. I want to see true transparency. I want to see the integrity of the elections. I would encourage readers to go to Epoch Times. They seem to be the one newspaper that's giving the most information out there, and it is factually based, as opposed to many of the mainstream organizations, or I should say all the mainstream organizations, have just given up on this, or they're actually very much against what's happening and its negative comments.
Well, that's going to be a great segue for our next guest, Patty Kergan, because our next guest is Dr. Dana Chang. She's a senior editor and one of the co-founders of the Epoch Times. So I know that she appreciates that endorsement. Patty Kergan, you do such a great job. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Okay. Thank you, Kim, and to your listeners.
Okay. And before we go to break, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants, located right here in the metro area, and it is really, it's tough right now for our different restaurants and our taverns with Governor Polis shutting things down. We need to support them through their to-go and their delivery business, and Hooters Restaurants has all kinds of specials. They have football specials, party pack to-go, they have lunch specials. Be sure and go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Dana Chang. We'll ask her about the Epoch Times. They've not called the presidential race yet. And then also on November 11th, there was something that happened that was very curious in Hong Kong. So we'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and that's MONSON.com. And you can find all of our podcasts and recaps of the shows, our op-eds, at kimmunson.com as well. Thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Dana Chang. She is senior editor with the Epoch Times, also one of the co-founders. Dr. Dana Chang, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And I'm sure you appreciated the endorsement from our researcher, Patty Kergan, just as we were going to break.
Yes, that's really nice to hear.
As we look at your reporting with the Epoch Times, it seems to me like true journalism, certainly you have opinion pieces, but it looks to me like you're searching for truth and clarity on these issues, Dr. Dana Chang.
Yes, from day one, we want to build a true independent media. And as a matter of fact, the founders are immigrants from China. And because we have experienced Chinese Communist Party's propaganda, and people really need free information, uncensored information. So we decided to set up this independent media, first in Chinese language, and later on American, French, German. They joined us. Now we have 23 languages in 30 countries.
When did you found the Epoch Times, Dana Chang?
In year 2000.
Okay, and you are really gaining steam. I continue to have people send me articles, op-eds that you are publishing, and how can people subscribe to the Epoch Times?
They can go to Epoch Times website, theepochtimes.com, and there's a subscription page, and people can subscribe digital, or they can subscribe a print and we can deliver to their house. And there's a more direct link called readepoch.com.
And I do get both of those, Dr. Dana Chang. Let's jump over here. We've got a couple of things that we need to talk about. First of all, the Epoch Times has not called the presidential race here yet. Why?
First of all, it's not the media's role to call for the winner of the election, especially there are legal challenges. And there are a lot of, more and more people are coming forth and analyze the data, and there are strange things happening. So we need to see all the legal challenges resolved before we make a conclusion. And that's the role of media.
Patty Kergan in the first segment went through the different battleground states, and it looks like there's significant legal challenges, but it looks like time is of the essence. What's your comments on that, Dr. Dana Chang?
Yes, it's a very difficult fight, for Trump's team. But I think all this fight is meaningful because we need to make sure our system is solid. This is to defend the freedom. So we need to protect the integrity of this election. It's not about Trump or Biden. It's not about which party. It's about the integrity of our system.
And every American, no matter what side of the aisle you are on, should want to have an election integrity and transparency. Let's move over to something that happened after the election that you think is very significant. And it was on Wednesday, November 11th. There was a communist China-backed government there in Hong Kong expelled four opposition members. And you think this is significant. Why?
CCP, Chinese Communist Party, disqualified four legislators. They were elected. So they disqualified these four members. So the remaining pro-democratic legislators, 15 of them, resigned as a protest. So this is one more step to take away the freedom from Hong Kong people. And unfortunately, more and more, I feel there are certain operations in this country that sound and look similar to what's happening in Hong Kong. For example, when some legislators support Hong Kong students in their protest, their legal protest, CCP members, Communist Party, expose their family members, the school of their children, and they are exposed to attack. Does it sound familiar? You know, this is something happened to the legal members of, you know, this election investigation.
Dr. Chang, you immigrated from China, correct?
Yeah, more than 30 years ago.
Okay.
America is the envy of the world because of its freedom. So defending the freedom is critical.
I see what happens within the next 2 weeks as a real flashpoint for the American idea on whether or not we have an election integrity or not. These next 2 weeks are super critical. Dr. Chang, what's your thoughts about the next couple of weeks here in America?
I don't know what will come out, but any effort to defend the freedom and integrity of this country is very meaningful. Eventually, the righteous part, the good side will win eventually in one form or another. In my opinion, this is not about the election of two parties. This is almost like the free world against the communist.
Well,
because
and
the communist idea and the communist method that's plaguing this country now.
Dana, we've got just a couple of minutes. What I find interesting is that Joe Biden and that whole, the Biden-Harris, that whole team, they're already showing their hand with the different picks for cabinet and just the agenda that they're, you know, rolling back. If I were them, I'm not sure I would be showing that hand, because that's not a hand that I think most Americans really like. And I think this could come back to bite them. What's your quick comment on that, Dr. Dana Chang?
Yes, they will be in trouble.
Okay. Okay. Dana, let's stay in contact. I so appreciate what you are doing with the Epoch Times. I did not realize that it was in 2000 that you founded it, but I know that it is now an international publication, one that many people go to for truth and clarity, and I so appreciate your time this morning.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, have a great day. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Kim.
I have taken a bit of a vacation from looking at what's been happening to the market. What's going on?
Well, it's just kind of been a little bit sideways for the most part for the last few days. Pretty good day last week, then we had a couple of slow days the day before Thanksgiving and the day after, so no big change, Kim. Most of the indexes are hanging right near their all-time highs. NASDAQ made another new all-time high on Friday, even though it was a slow day, so the markets do seem pretty happy right now. You and your guest were talking an awful lot about freedom as well, Kim. And, you know, I think that one thing that a Roth IRA gives you is freedom. It gives you freedom from required distributions, so you don't have to take money out of your account if you don't want to. It gives you freedom from the tyranny of higher taxes, which I believe are certain to come in the future. And again, while tax rates are still very, very low right now, it may be a good time to think about converting some of your existing IRAs to Roth, to make Roth contributions. While taxes are low, it's just kind of a way to hedge against loss of control and also higher taxes in the future by taking advantage of the low tax rates that we have now.
Now, I assume that this needs to be done between now and the end of the year?
They can be done any time, but yes, if you want to do a conversion and you want the income to hit for 2020, that conversion does have to be done by December 31st.
Okay. And I cannot believe that this is the last day of November. We're looking at December 1st tomorrow. We're in the Christmas season, and the first day of Advent was on Sunday. And it's going to go really quickly. I would recommend that people reach out to you and have you take a look at where they're at with these markets at all-time highs. And you said NASDAQ hit an all-time high. So I felt that the smaller stocks were lagging the Dow a bit. Has that been the case?
Well, the NASDAQ's not necessarily smaller stocks anymore, Kim. It's stocks that are maybe more aligned toward technology to some degree.
Okay.
But the smaller ones would be like the Russell 2000 or the S&P 600. And I'll tell you, those have had a fire lit under them pretty well recently, too. And they've also gone to new highs. So everybody's participating now.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. So I would highly recommend to sit down, do a discovery session, give Jason a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And here we are the next couple of weeks. Jason McBride are going to be very important for the American idea.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll pray for a good outcome. But you know what, Kim? We'll always move forward. No matter what, we'll always move forward.
Onward and upward, for sure. Jason McBride, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Andy Berger, we've had her on before, and she's the founder of Voices Against Trafficking. And with all of this disruption that has occurred, I think that many of us have looked inward instead of outward because we're just trying to make it all work for ourselves and our families and haven't really thought about what's happening out there on the streets. And so when we come back, we'll be talking with Andy Berger with Voices Against Trafficking. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. I know we're all trying to figure out what's going on with Facebook and Twitter. But at this point, we do appreciate those likes as well. On the line with me is Andy Berger, and she is the founder of Voices Against Trafficking. And we were doing research on this, she said that human trafficking is a major and growing epidemic in the U.S. It was not talked about much during the campaign, but we cannot ignore what is going on. Andy Berger, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be back on.
Good to have you as well. And you're out on the West Coast, correct?
I am. I'm in Central Oregon, the middle of the state, and it's early and bright, and we are ready to roll.
Well, I so appreciate that. Now, tell us a little bit. I know you've been on the show before, but for those listeners who are just meeting you, tell us about you founding Voices Against Trafficking.
Sure. Voices Against Trafficking is a network of individuals, businesses. It's a collective unit, even though everyone has their own separate identity as an organization. But what we did was we brought everyone together a couple of times on Capitol Hill and virtually in order to create a more powerful hub against against traffickers and predators in the country. And so there is power in numbers, and we're working to get 1 million voices on our roster that say we want to end human trafficking now. And that's our goal.
Andy, as I was thinking about it over this last week that you were going to be on the show, and in this, you've said that human trafficking is a growing epidemic. And I'm wondering if this is all part of this whole multiculturalism and the movement that we've had since the 60s, kind of away from foundational principles and moving away from relationships between men and women. I know that's a big question. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think in part that's true, because when you think about human trafficking, Kim, I mean, we are taking human beings, young ones, children even, you know, and we are selling them. We are manipulating. We are exploiting them for profit, you know, for gain. I mean, people were upset in the 80s about, you know, all the corporate greed and whatnot, but this is nothing compared to that, because here we are violating the most basic of human rights. It's literally 21st century slavery. But as you mentioned in the opening, you know, I didn't hear any candidates talking about it. I didn't hear anyone being upset that, you know, we are fast taking over the illegal drug trade as the number one illegal activity in the U.S. Didn't hear anyone mention, you know, every 40 seconds in America, a child is abducted. And so We are fighting to make sure, one, the victims out there know we are looking for them. The U.S. Marshals are doing a great job of that, but we need to do more as a national community.
Now, the Trump administration, and I pulled, I think it might have been from the Epic Times, the Trump administration has done things to address this. It's just not talked about much.
Of course, I know. And isn't that curious? Because one of the most important things, the future of our country, you know, is our children, is our youth, our teens, you know, the kids we rescue. And the Trump administration has passed nine pieces of legislation in the last 3.5 years, and they have caught and prosecuted thousands of predators. We are finding thousands of missing children, and yet there is no big news story about this. There's no continuing, hey, look what's happening. With all this other stuff going on, we're doing something good as a country. We're doing something good as a nation. But then look how far up the food chain that the corruption and trafficking goes.
Okay, Andy, you are in Central Oregon, and if I remember right, Voices Against Trafficking was founded kind of in Portland. Am I remembering that correct or not?
Actually, it came out of Central Oregon, Beulah's Place, my nonprofit, where we rescue the kids. We've been around 13 years, and out of that success that we have had and our relationships with both sides of the fence, members of Congress, Voices Against Trafficking was created, and we have international members. We've had people from the White House, the Vatican, and different countries all want to help share information, help get this situation under control, because COVID has exacerbated the numbers for trafficking and domestic violence. And so now we have an even greater problem.
How so? How did COVID do that?
Well, when you lock people up for long periods of time, if you have an abuser or a predator in the family, as I did, I was sex trafficked as a child by family members, that just gives more opportunity. There's less accountability, less chance for anyone to see what's going on or to talk to the children. So you have the explosive nature of any predator or abuser now locked up with easy prey. That's one thing. The second thing is, with all the masks, how could a child even identify a predator? All they can see are eyes, maybe. So even if we do find someone, it's very difficult to get that. But the other part of it is, since everyone, as you mentioned, we're all kind of looking at ourselves, our families, which, you know, is understandable, but the predators are having a free rein because of that. You know, no one is looking, no one is really making it so important that they have to be concerned about getting caught, in my opinion.
Boy, I hadn't really thought about that, because this whole COVID-19 thing, I'm hearing that it's difficult on kids right now, and I had not thought about the whole mask component of that. I'm very frustrated with this whole, and Joe Biden said that that there'll be a mandatory mask wearing for people across the United States, which we just had a situation out here in Colorado, really two things. And I know that you're more bipartisan, so this is my comment on this, Andy. But first thing, Governor Polis out here and the first gentleman, they both tested positive for COVID-19. The first question is people, then you hear the testing positive and people are scared to death. But the first question is are you sick? I had talked to a friend of mine recently that has COVID. And she said, I don't feel great, but if we are shutting down our economy, and then I'm going to say, if we are putting people in situations where there's even more of an opportunity for trafficking of our kids, then that is really a bad thing that's happening. Because she said, I don't feel great, but if we're closing down everything because of this, this is a crime. But the other thing that we had happen out here, Andy, is our mayor of Denver, again, it's very draconian out here in Colorado, is shutting down many of our small mom and pop businesses while keeping the big boxes open. And they're telling people not to get together for Thanksgiving. And then he flew to Mississippi to be with his wife and his daughter. And I'm just thinking, hey, wait a minute. If this is so deadly as it's as deadly as they say it is, then people like Mayor Hancock and Governor Newsom, who had dinner with 11 of his friends up at the French Laundry in the Napa Valley without masks, if this is as deadly as they say it is, then they wouldn't be doing that. Andy, you're free to make a comment if you'd like.
Sure. No, I understand that our kids are in the same boat. They can't even get help because, you know, they're on the streets or they're wherever. And so here's what I will say. When you do that, when you put masks on people, and many people have disabilities that do not require a wheelchair or crutches, whether it's breathing, asthma, a lot of our kids have those issues. They've been traumatized by people with masks. I had part of that in my life as a sex trafficking survivor, where people with masks or put things over their face and my face, you know, and then they did what they did. So it is a horrific oversight to just categorically say everybody has to have masks, you know, when there are these issues out there. And thankfully, the kids that we have worked with, not one of them has been sick, because we take great care to educate them on what to do, how to stay healthy the best they can, and we intercede. But not everybody has that. So when we do a blanket mandate, that is so harmful, and especially to anyone who's homeless and on the street. It's almost like a death sentence. And the people that are getting sick, we have to remember too, Kim, it's flu season, the regular flu season, not just COVID, but regular flu. So people are going to get sick, including our kids, but forcing them to breathe back in toxins, I don't know if that's a great idea or not. I just know that I have to do what I can to protect them.
Oh, my gosh. So, Andy Berger, I think what we'll do is we'll go to break and continue on. My mind is just spinning. One of the things is it really is hard for me to get my brain around trafficking of kids. I hear it happen. A friend of mine, Tom Tillipaw, who passed on from cancer recently, was a real fighter with the Denver Street School out here in Colorado, and I'd had coffee with him, and he explained this to me, and it's hard for me to get my brain around this, Andy, and I know you say that it is a growing epidemic. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about Andy Berger, what we can do regarding this epidemic that is occurring in our society. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business. Their new website is up and running at castlegate.com. They have knives and tools from the best blade makers from throughout the world. It's a great gift for that guy or gal on your Christmas list who you're not quite sure what to get them for Christmas. A great knife, a utility knife, or a kitchen knife set, or one of the collector knives would be a great gift. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Andy Berger.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. I know we're all trying to figure out where we're going to land on this Facebook, Twitter, Parler, MeWe, all of that. But we'd appreciate it if you go over and give us a like there as well. On the line with me is Andy Berger, and she is the founder for Voices Against Trafficking. And Andy Berger, this is an important issue. With the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption, so many of us are just trying to, you know, keep it together, keep the kids together, you know, get the kids educated and, you know, make sure our businesses are going. And there's just so many challenges that we're looking inward. And America's have always been so great about looking outward and helping those in need. And this is something I'm concerned about regarding our kids on the streets, Andy Berger.
Yes, it's definitely affecting, you know, not just nonprofits, but definitely the kids at risk and homeless on the streets, even if they're trapped in an apartment or a home or whatever, because maybe the parents now have lost their jobs or there is no child care that's safe, things like that. The burden on just the American public is so huge with this. And again, it creates volatile situations. But, you know, one of the other things we've seen this year, Kim, is big businesses trying to normalize sexual behavior. And my example is Netflix, you know, the Cuties movie, trying to say, hey, this is okay for a 10-year-old to, you know, romp around, you know, like a prostitute on stage, and trying to get that by the American public through their television. We've had national, you know, news with, you know, Maxwell, Epstein, and all of the others that we have seen in the news, that they are allowed to get away with it because there are people who are willing to cover. And in our country, under the Victims of Trafficking and Violence Protection Act of 2000, child sex trafficking is defined as the act of recruiting, or sometimes called grooming, harboring, transporting, providing, obtaining, buying, or soliciting a child for commercial sex, including prostitution and the production of child pornography. But here's the thing, the child does not choose that. They are taken, they are coerced. In some cases, even in America, a family sells a child to pay for the other kids they have. It's just that way. And as horrible as that sounds, there are a lot of great people. We are so blessed to have a generous community in this country, but you're right. Right now, people are trying to figure out, how do I buy food? How do I take care of my kids? How do I, you know, manage school? And trying to work maybe two part-time jobs since my other jobs have closed down. And so they're not really focused outward, and the money they have is very limited to support the organizations like ours that do the work on the ground.
Okay, Andy, I'm going to make a comment regarding trying to get by for everyday hardworking people. And here in Colorado, we now have a radical activist, Democrat, governor, House of Representatives, and Senate. No longer do we have the blue dog Democrats of yesteryear that have liked the American idea. We now have people that I really think have animosity towards everyday hardworking people, which I think you just described. And so underneath the surface, on trying to make ends meet, we've got public policy that's making our everyday things that we need more expensive. Out here in Colorado, I continue to look at the headlines, and it, again, very draconian, to try to shut down our oil and gas industry, which has provided efficient, reliable, and responsible energy for everyday hardworking people. So they're now moving us to more expensive electricity. And so you ding people on their energy cost. Well, those energy costs then go over to food costs. Food costs go up. You know, right now we don't know what's happening regarding educating our kids. So people are at home, they're trying to make ends meet, and they're also trying to educate their kids. We got rid of the Gallagher Amendment here in this last election, which had guardrails on property taxes. Property taxes are going to go up 164% in Denver. And so what I'm trying to say is there's these subtle things that's happening through public policy that is making it more and more difficult for everyday people to make it. And you've said that some people have turned to something very tragic, Andy.
Yes, they have. You know, and when people are overwhelmed or they feel attached emotionally, mentally, physically, all those things at the same time, sometimes they take drastic measures. And our kids are no different. They don't see a hope. They don't see a future for themselves. They don't see that anyone is going to take care of the person that is hurting them repeatedly. And so they give up. They take their own life, or they say, you know what, I'll just do drugs, or I'll just sell myself, because that's really all I'm good for. And here's my opinion about a lot of what happens. Grooming in the sex trafficking trade means building a relationship, trust, some kind of connection with a child or young person for the purpose of manipulating and exploiting or abusing them later. Well, when we elect leaders, it is our choice to elect, you know, certain leaders, don't they also do the same thing? They build a relationship with the public. They try and create a trust and some connection. But then when the deed is done and elections are over, there's the manipulation and the exploitation. And while that's a very strong statement, you know, again, it's my opinion, but that's what's happening, because you cannot put all of this pressure on middle America or everyday America and expect great results, especially where there are children involved.
And we had talked about, I had had a guest on recently, we talked about leadership. And there is positive leadership. I quoted Winston Churchill at the beginning of the show, and I'll quote him at the end of the show. Positive leadership. Leaders that step into a crisis and say, we will get through this. When Donald Trump came out after he had recovered from COVID and said, you do not need to be afraid of this, the left-wing media, the leftists, went crazy, because they realized that if we're not afraid of it, they can't control us. And fear, I have also got to think, even in the sex trafficking arena, fear is a big emotion that they use.
Absolutely. They use it. Hey, if you tell anyone, I will kill your family. And this is true. I have stories. Or if you don't do this for me, I will snatch your sister or your brother, or I will kill, you know, your dog, or whatever it is. They will use fear depending on how young or how old the youth is. And a child, you know, is still 18 or under, at least in most states. You know, California's changed that a little bit. But at any rate, you know, they do. Fear is a big factor. And so but we try and tell, you know, the youth that we rescue is, hey, today is the day that you can choose, but you have to own the consequences. You have to be willing to own your decisions. And no matter what happens around you, you still have to keep moving forward. And that's, you know, what I try to encourage even adults I know that are struggling with depression and anxieties. Take one day, just take today and do the best you can with it, because at some point something is going to shake out, but it is hard. However, if we unite as a community against this one basic thing, this violation of human rights of the innocents, then, you know, that's kind of like rooting for a football or a sports team or somebody that, you know, in desperate times, people look to something else to put their energies in. And I'm hoping and praying that people will put their energies into helping us fight the fight against predators on a massive scale. We have the absolute example of our president keeping it as an important issue. But hopefully, you know, that will continue no matter what happens.
And you just mentioned California quickly. Could you define what happened? I remember seeing the headline on this. Tell us what happened in California.
Basically, I don't have it in front of me. I don't have the bill in front of me. But basically, now if someone, say you have a 14-year-old child, and someone within 10 years of that age, up to 24 years old, violates or has sexual relations with that young person, they will not suffer the stigma or the penalty of being a sex predator, because the child's 14 and older. Okay. Only if the child's 14 and younger could it be statutory rape.
Okay, and for some reason I was thinking that it was regarding gay activities. Is that correct or not?
That I can't speak to. I would have to reread the bill, but that might have been one of the groups that was involved in trying to get stricter guidelines, but I can't tell you for sure. I'd have to reread the bill.
Yeah, obviously you and I we're not going to talk about that, but when you mentioned that, it's like, oh, I'd like to get some clarification. So I will try to look that up as well. Andy, we've got just a couple of minutes left on this, and my heart hurts on this. My heart not only hurts for the child, but also for the perpetrator, the other people that are involved in this as well. My heart hurts over this whole issue. What can we do about this, Andy?
One of the things in every community, I encourage people, please go to your local law enforcement, find out what they consider reporting. What can you tell them? What do they want to know? Second thing is, if you see something or your gut, says something is wrong, say something or call for help, because somebody is depending on that. I wish I had known anybody was out there looking for me, or that I could have called someone. But, in the early 60s and 70s, we didn't even talk about child abuse, let alone organized, child abuse. So, but for now, we have a lot of resources. We have national hotlines and on our website, voicesagainsttrafficking.com. You can find those. Voicesagainsttrafficking.com also has other information. But we need to be more proactive. We need to speak up, and we need to start owning the fact that if there's trafficking in our community, which we know every community has some level of it, we need to be part of the solution and not turn away, turn a blind eye. But there is hope. I mean, if I can survive and be successful and help others, then any other victim can do that. But we have to help them first. We have to rescue. We have to help them. We have to rehabilitate them and reintegrate them into community.
Okay, Andy Berger, thank you so much. I so greatly appreciate this. And again, that's voicesagainsttrafficking.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And our quote for today is from Winston Churchill. He says, "You have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life." And my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. But tell them if I don't serve.